All right, Fritzberger and Blood and Faith.com, Christian Nations. Got some thoughts coming your way. Like you, without any doubt, I wonder in my mind, I go, what is it going to take? Why are we stuck in the rut that we're in? We know things are wrong. We know they're fundamentally wrong. We know we have no institutional power. And we're reluctant to take up arms, appropriately so. And we can't get organized. We're not organized. Anytime you get organized, it's subverted by the system. It's subverted by law enforcement officers or traitors. We saw that in the Tea Party movement a decade or two ago. The churches, God bless the churches. I'm a big fan of the churches. God bless the churches. But, you know, where's the mojo? Where's the mojo? And I struggle with this. I wonder with this. And I took a nap today and I woke up and I said, you know what? I think I might have a part of the issue, a part of the problem. And it's this, the church, and I include myself in this, has perceived life in reality as we live in the world, but we're not of the world. We live in the world and we believe in something not in the world. We live in the world and we have faith in Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead and God. And yet we believe that the default position is that the world doesn't need to change and that we're tasked with simply existing in this world as it is, as bad as it is, and hope to die and go to heaven or get raptured out of it, maybe catch a few people along the way. And we don't fundamentally understand our position as one of war, of utter warfare. And I include myself in this. We look at our position as, you know, we're one big world. We got to get along. We got to get along and make do and make compromises. And, you know, I'll have my little Jesus faith and you can have your little Jew faith and you can have your little Muhammad faith or whatever it is. And that certainly is the mindset that we have been indoctrinated into, including into the church. For many of our societies, we consider our society a diverse and tolerant, liberal, capitalistic democracy. And we fundamentally believe that's the way society should be. We should all find a way to get along. The government's supposed to be relatively neutral. And you know, you do your thing and I'll do my thing and nobody has a monopoly on anything. And so we allow each other coexistence. I think that's where all of us are coming from. And so I want to poke some holes in that today, not because I'm so smart, but because I'm struggling like the rest of us to try to figure out what the deal is. And I want to start from this position, whether it's 100 years ago or 200 years ago or pick a date, your society, my society, was a Christian society. It, by and large, held a Christian worldview. Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Western Europe, by and large, the majority of the population viewed life through a Christian lens. God created the heavens and the earth. There's a judgment day. There's a savior. There's heaven and the hell. There's the Ten Commandments. And that was accepted as the norm. Somewhere along the line, and I'll start with the French atheism, the rise of, well, they call it the Enlightenment, but it was really the darkening, where you fundamentally inverted the assumptions about God. Before that time, the fundamental assumption was God and the Bible were real. We may argue about the details. We may argue about whether or not, you know, it's the Roman Catholic way or the Lutheran way or the Methodist way or the East or whatever it is. But there's still a fundamental respect for the Almighty God, respect for the Ten Commandments, respect for Jesus Christ. And a group of thinkers came along and said, hey, no, we're going to start from the presupposition that there is no God. And that was a couple hundred years ago. It was birthed in the heart of Christendom, fundamental inversion. And it's taken 200 years or so 250 years to work out the implications of that assumption. And we've certainly seen accelerate. I mean, in my own lifetime, things that were right are now wrong, and what is once wrong is now right. We've seen the complete and utter collapse of the Christian tradition in Christendom, and in the children of Christendom, North America, Australia, New Zealand, even South Africa. I mean, I think of the Sidelanders, and I think of the Christian migrants and the Christian explorers and the Christian settlers into the southern end of the African continent. Brought Christian civilization there, made it a prosperous place, and then other peoples took over and not doing so well down there right now. Drove the Christians out in many, many respects. And best case scenario, those of us, anybody alive today, believes that we have this quote-unquote great liberal democracy with diversity and tolerance for all. And yet you fast forward to 2022, and that's no longer the case. And I've often made the argument that tolerance is simply a rhetorical device to move the standard from one point to another. So in other words, 50 years ago, when it was demanded that we have tolerance for, I don't know, pick it, whether it's homosexuality or Playboy magazine or, I don't know, whatever it is. And so we said, okay, we try to be tolerant. It's just the Christian thing, be tolerant. So we're tolerant and we're tolerant and we're tolerant. Well, next thing you know, they run the show. Next thing you know, they run the show and they're jamming LGBTQ down the throats of our children. Basic Christian doctrine is banned from Twitter and YouTube. How do I know? Ask me how I know. I got banned and I deleted my content off of YouTube. And, you know, you say, well, what happened to the tolerance? What happened to the freedom of speech? Oh, no, no. What you guys believe is now hate speech. And so we've been seduced with the idea that we owed them tolerance and diversity and an acceptance of their opinions. And that's been rewarded by utter warfare against Christian ideas, utter warfare. And they have told us, no, you are not permitted to speak that in the public sphere. And so we've been hoodwinked. Now, theologically, where does this come from? Well, go back to the Hebrew nation that was called to go into Canaan, capture Canaan, and make no covenant or alliance with the pagan evil nations. There are to be a people separate unto God. Separate unto God. And not to make an alliance with them. And I don't know, you know, I don't know in my entire lifetime I've ever heard anybody preach a sermon on that. As long as I've been around, as much churching as I've done, I don't know that I've ever heard a preacher say, hey, we need to come out and be an entirely separate nation. Usually it's in the contents of you personally need to separate yourself from the world and live a holy life, which is all great and good. But even the entire concept of a separate nation, the most they'll go is a family or, you know, our church body, our church body, you know, 150 of us, and, you know, be different than the rest of the world. But never an entire nation. And yet the foundation of all this was the establishment of a nation of millions of people to be called out and be separate and serve the Almighty God. And so this is your land. Go in there, destroy the enemy, and make no alliance with them whatsoever. Church no longer believes that. I could trace it back farther. I could go right back to the Garden of Eden with the fall, and the Almighty God shows up in the form of Jesus Christ, pre-incarnation. Remember, he's the creator of the world. He's been there from the very beginning. Jesus Christ has, pre-incarnation. And he looks at the woman, he looks at the serpent, and he says, there's going to be enmity between you and her, between your seed and her seed. And that's never gone away. And you saw that spectacularly in the life of Jesus Christ. If you read through the Gospels of Jesus Christ, you see in a spectacular enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. They hated each other. I don't know how else to put it. Enmity means a deep-seated hatred even unto death, and they murdered that seed of the woman, Jesus Christ. War. We're at war. We've been at war since the fall. There was war in the time of Jesus Christ, and there's war today. And we've made it one of our doctrines of men, one of our special Christian ideas, that we're supposed to accommodate the evildoers. I mean, that's rewarded by us becoming their slaves, which is exactly what the Almighty God warned the ancient nation of Hebrews about throughout their history. We are at war. There's a war going on between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. If you don't believe it from Genesis, if you don't believe it from the Hebrew scriptures, if you don't believe it from the Gospels, believe it from the Revelation. Dragon comes down, tries to gobble up the offspring of the woman, can't, and makes war against her seed, the followers of the Messiah. We're at war. And we don't understand. I have not understood it that way. Maybe in a theological sense, in a spiritual sense, well, we war not against flesh and blood, but against spiritualities and powers and devils in high places. No. Yes, that is true, but we need to take it bigger than that. We're literally at war. And Christian, you will be wiped off the face of the earth unless you don't take this seriously. This has been the history of the West since the French Revolution. This has been the history of Christendom since the French Revolution. We've talked about how in the French Revolution, they had the atheistic revolution. Notre Dame was turned into the Temple of Reason. And they went out into the countryside and they put Christian men and women in communities to the pitchfork. This is war. It's called war. You go back and you look at the Holodomor, the purposeful starvation of Christians in the Ukraine by the communists that took over the Soviet Union. Purposely starved them to death. Took away their ability to farm. You look at that under China. You look at that under Pol Pot. It's literal war. It's bloodshed. It's physical war. And we have not understood that. The church is not. They understand it. Trust me, they understand it. They know it is. There's a reason I have a PhD in history. And there's a reason I studied so much Marxism. Your life matters not. The agenda matters. And it is a religious war. They may not call it a religion, but it's an all-consuming totalitarian vision of life that brooks no compromise with evil. I am evil in their eyes. I am an evil man in their eyes. I'm a Hitler. I'm a Nazi. I'm a fascist. I'm a homophobe. I'm a transphobe. I'm a queerphobe. I'm intolerant, divisive, feminist, and on and on and on. And they've demonized anybody that dares stand in front of their agenda. This is total war. And we very much have it in our mindset that somehow we're going to work this out. Yet from the very beginning, from Genesis 3:15, the Almighty said, you're not going to work this out. God Almighty says, I will put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And we don't believe it. As a church, as the Christian church, we don't believe in that enmity that God put there. And we just think, oh, no, it's just because, you know, we're being selfish or whatever. And so we go down our little Christian traditions and we scold ourselves into not being good, diverse, little, liberal, tolerant people. And we give them whatever they want. And when they come out and they accuse us, when the accuser of the brethren accuses and accuses and accuses and accuses us of hatred and division and not being Christ-like and not loving. Their idea of Christianity is that we're supposed to love the sinners. Oh, I wonder where I've ever heard that from. How about a tradition of the church? Love the sinners, hate the sin. Well, now it's love the sinners and there is no sin. And if you hate the sin, well, you hate the sinner. They don't distinguish between the two. They do not distinguish between the two. If you're against their agenda, well, you're a hater. You're a Nazi. And the church has not taken this seriously. And because we've, again, compartmented off this portion of life, and we believe that there's a division between the spiritual and the physical, and you know, that may be true, but it doesn't mean that both realms are not realms that we need to engage in, conquer in, and bring discipline to. Great Commission, bring discipline to the nations. The parable of the field. Look, there's a reason why you can't grow a harvest, because you've abandoned the field to Satan. We're at war. We're at total war. You can no longer think of this as, well, we got our little position here. I got my little, 0.5% of life, and they're allowing me to think thoughts between my ears, and I can say some things out of my mouth, but not very much, and we think that's okay. This is a challenging thought. We're at war. We're at total war. We are the seed of the woman through Jesus Christ. They are the seed of the serpent. And there's enmity, which is a deep-seated hatred unto death, and we don't take that seriously. I'm flat out telling you, unless we rise up and build Christian nations, we will be eliminated. Physically, biologically eliminated. That's the history of the Antichrists. That's the history of the Antichrists. That spirit's already here. I've used to call it Marxism. I used to call it atheism, wokeism, political correctness. It's the Antichrist. It's the spirit of the Antichrist. It is the seed of the serpent at war with the children of God. And we haven't conceived of this in our minds. We haven't thought of it in this terms. There's absolute total warfare of the Antichrist and the armies of the Antichrist against the peoples of the Christ. And the church, to a great degree, identifies itself as something different than in Christ, and certainly does not identify the Antichrist people as Antichrist. Oh, we need to just love them. And then that translates into we need to accept their sin as they are. Now, if you know me, I'm not the most, how should I say this? You know, people have this idea of the Puritans from 400 years ago, you know, they can't even think a dirty thought or have a sip of wine or smoke a cigarette. That ain't it. That's not what we're talking about here. That they're just too pure to even wake up in the morning because they might be contaminated by something out there. That's, I'm going to struggle to come up with a concept for that, but I'm sure other people have written about that before. Call it holier than thou. That's not what we're talking about. Pietism. I'm not talking about pietism. Be so full of piety that you can't breathe the air in the morning. I'm talking about recognizing that Jesus Christ owns the entire world, and there's a war on between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. We don't recognize that. Before we get into tactics and techniques, which I am no expert at, I'm a thinker. I'm a philosopher. And part of the misdirection of the church is we think somehow that we owe them the world, and we just try to hang on until we get Shanghaied out of here through death or the rapture. And we don't see the fact that the spirit of the Antichrist is very well and pleasant and present, and he has death in mind for us. We are at war. It's a war between the Antichrist and Christ. And we haven't realized it. There's a war on between the Antichrist and the Christ, and we don't even see it. And we're not going to turn this around until we recognize the fundamental fact that we are at war with the Antichrist. Well, where's the Antichrist? What's his name? Who is he? Doesn't matter. The Spirit's already there. Far as I'm concerned, the great falling away came with the rise of atheism in the heart of Christendom. And now, those of you that have got the guts to open up your mouth and speak the full counsel of the Holy Scriptures, you face persecution. You face hatred from them. These people that claim they're so tolerant and diverse, they're nothing but liars and hypocrites. Same people that attack Jesus Christ, claiming to be holier than thou, the Pharisees and all that group. Holier than thou, and they murdered Jesus Christ. It would get the same group, same evil, demonic, antichrist spirit, and seed of the serpent, and people. These are physical people. Say, oh, it's just a demon out there. No, these are physical people. They're physical people that have made a decision. Believe me, Satan couldn't have done a thing at the Garden of Eden unless Eve had volunteered herself. Satan couldn't have done a thing unless Eve volunteered and Adam volunteered. Nor could Judas. Satan could have done a thing to Jesus Christ till a man stepped up to volunteer. And you had all the Pharisees, and then here comes Judas, the final piece. Oh, here's my other volunteer. These aren't autonomous units that just work without working through people. They work through people. Go back and read the whole history of ancient Israel. They were people. They were alive. They were flesh and blood people. They had responsibilities. They had to go into the land, kill the enemy, burn down the idols, and establish a God-fearing nation. It is inconceivable in 99.99% of the church to even think that way. I think that way. And to the degree that I haven't in the past, I'm starting to think that way. This is war. We're at war. Just say to yourself, the Antichrist is already here, and we're at war. And if you don't believe me, look at all the churches that do everything they can to keep below the sight picture of the enemy. They're like Gideon. Let's go tread the wheat out down in the wine cellar so the enemy can't see us. And he's like, that's fine. As long as you stay out of sight, keep your mouth shut, we're good. We run the place. And generations after generation after generation literally go to hell because we're not permitted to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ into the government schools. So our children, generations after generations after generations of children, have no knowledge of God Almighty, have no knowledge of the creation, have no knowledge of the Holy Scriptures, have no knowledge of Jesus Christ, because it's illegal in the government schools that we pay taxes for. That's called warfare. That's called warfare. It's called the genocide against the children of Jesus Christ, the children of God. I don't care how many excuses you make for them. This is where we're at. And I'm coming to the conclusion that we have to understand things this way. And we're always working so hard to make accommodation for the children of the serpent, for the seed of the serpent, for the brood of vipers. When you read the Gospels and you read about the brood of vipers, and you read how John the Baptist called certain people, you brood of vipers, and Jesus Christ called people a brood of vipers, and he called certain people children of the devil. You need to really pay attention to that. And you need to pay attention to the life or death struggle between Jesus Christ and the seed of the serpent. Jesus Christ lost, but he overcame that. We need to be serious. We need to be serious people. And if everything's pie in the sky, if everything's, you know, I'm going to get raptured out of here, if everything's, well, God's going to take care of me. Going to war and building Christian nations is hard work. It's risky. Some of us are not going to make it through this stuff. Not everybody that went into the promised land made it. All right. Not all of the early Christians made it. Some of them lost their lives. Is the church able to conceive of the fact that if they're looking for an Antichrist, it's already here and we're losing? And this is war. This is total war. This is total war. Spiritual, biological, physical. They will eliminate you. We need to understand ourselves at total war with the Antichrist and the soldiers in the army of the Antichrist. And stop looking for this third way where we can all just get along. Because it's a one-way street. Every time they get, I mean, think about how it was 50 years ago. You know, if you're not old enough to remember, you got people that you know that are old enough to remember. What do you think the outcome is going to be? What's the outcome today in 2022? Can you have a job and open up your mouth and speak basic things out of the Holy Scriptures? No, unless you cater to it, unless you cater to them and make sure that they're happy with every word you say. We're a total war. The Antichrist, just say to yourself, the Antichrist is already here. I may not know who he is. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Maybe you're looking for something and it's a misdirection play. The spirit of the Antichrist is here, and there's many, many Antichrists here now, as there have been for 2,000 years. The only way the next generations are going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ is if we build Christian nations. What's a Christian nation? It's a nation that understands that the Ten Commandments are the fundamental legal, political, and social compact of a people that respect the Word of God, that respect and honor Jesus Christ explicitly, not, I guess you can have a church service over there. Christians are jumping up and down and clap their hands. Oh, boy, yay, we can actually have church somewhere. No. There's a reason the Ten Commandments were carved into the walls of the Supreme Court of the United States in marble some hundreds of years ago. It's the Ten Commandments of God. Now, you can make whatever excuses you want and say, well, it's this or that. No. The Ten Commandments of God. First and the Third Commandments refer explicitly to Jesus Christ. We need to build literal Christian nations. Whereas a nation, we are converted to faith. I mean, listen, you say, well, I don't think anybody should impose a religion on us. What do you think you have in the government schools today? They're imposing a religion upon you. Part of the religion is they say, well, it's not really a religion. And they took out the Holy Scriptures and given you different writings. Scripture just means writing. They took away the writings inspired by God and gave you writings inspired by Satan in many cases. Evolution, LGBTQ, the hatred of white people. Why do they hate white people? Christendom, my friends, Christendom. They hate white people because of Christendom. We're the children of Christendom. That's why they hate white people. And this is just, and they fear a great revival amongst the children of Christendom. Go read Ezekiel 36, the vision of the valley of the dry bones. That's for the children of Christendom that will arise again. And we will rebuild Christian nations. We're going to do it. But we have to open up our minds and understand that we are at total war. We are at total war today. The Antichrist is at war against the children of Jesus Christ. And we think it's our duty to make the world safe for the Antichrist. And it's not. It's a change in thinking. It's a big change in thinking. Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com.